today on Commitment to Truth.
See, this is what happens, family, is that when you and I are saying bad things about other people, bad things about parents, especially if you have little children, you know who's sitting around her? It's because you have created such a bad image of people to them. Or you say, well, I never say it around them. But here's the weird thing about being a parent. Have you ever seen your child do something they never seen you do? I remember when my children started growing up, I'm like, dang, he's doing the same thing I did when I was a sinner. And they didn't even know I struggle with that. And here we are as followers of Jesus Christ. We're having these sidebar conversations and we think that it's just in the air. It not only affects you, it affects every generation that comes after you.
Welcome to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Each week, Pastor Cedric Brown and the pastoral team at Commitment Church strive to draw you into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Cedric, lead pastor of Commitment Church, with today's message.
After I came to know Jesus Christ and that honeymoon stage wore off, I had to learn how to personally deal with my hurts. Being the last of eight kids, you get a lot of hurts. In other words, you get verbally picked on, you get physically pushed around, and all those different things. But at the end of the day, I had to learn how to be healed from past wounds and even present wounds. In other words, sometimes that the past intersects with the present, right, until you first deal with it. Not to mention just living life or being married and having kids, guess what happens? You get wounds along the way. And then if you put an exclamation point on this one, is that there are even wounds that occurred in the dysfunctionality of the body of Christ where we should all, who are wounded, find healing. But the challenge we all face is that we must come to the resolution or the resolute mind and heart is that hurt people will always hurt people. So chances are you live with, you know, you work with, you sing with, you pray with a bunch of hurt people. But I believe the sooner we all, who, if we're honest, we have some kind of hurt. Some of you probably just got hurt when you woke up this morning and your spouse looked at you the wrong way and you now feel hurt. It's that simple, but that deep. So no matter how old your hurts are or how recent they have occurred, we have to be men and women who come to the place in our hearts, in our hurts, that we can exclaim that we are healed. Because it becomes very, very complicated in life when all of us who have been hurt try to navigate life with unthinkable hurts, right? But yet we realize that we can't really navigate life until you deal with what pains you. And truth be told, you can go to psychiatrists or after psychologists, you can take pill after pill, but it's not until you deal with it. And furthermore, if you have put your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ, there's a holy and sacred promise that you are healed. Now, the challenge always is how we get there, right? You know, because the pains are real. The people are real. Some people are dead who hurt you, and now you can't go back and say, can I talk to you about this? You know, some people, we're going to learn today, that are dead to you, but they're still alive, that you must also deal with so ultimately you can be healed. And here's the reality as followers of Jesus Christ, there's nothing that was ever promised to us about going through life and living life and getting married and having kids and doing all the wonderful things of life that you would not run into someone who hurts you. But honestly, what was more poignantly promised by God is that you will be hurt. Don't be surprised when fiery trials come upon you. And I guarantee you, if you just pause right now and just rewind and try to pinpoint all the fiery trials, they've been caused by people for the most part. So it shouldn't surprise us. Shouldn't surprise us when a saint acts like a sinner, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none that are righteous, no, not one. Shouldn't surprise us. And those are the things that I had to learn as I matured in the faith, is that, you know what, that person who I thought would never hurt me will hurt me. Now, it doesn't mean you walk around with guards up and expecting the next shoe to drop, but you know that. Here's the beautiful thing about the finished work of Jesus Christ. You heal before you even hurt. You're healed even before you get hurt, if you remain in him. If you make decisions, live life, have relationships outside of him, yes, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be blindsided every single time. Right? That's why when a person gets married, they get married and they're in him until they get married. Then they got what they want. Presumably, then they get, quote, blindsided. Well, I can't believe it. You're the one that I prayed for. You're the one I believe God gave me, and now you're hurting me. What did you expect? Don't be surprised. So my hope is, again, that as we kind of call it what it is, that we'll learn how to discover about three things. One, how should we not respond to our hurts? Secondly, how we should respond then to those who hurt us. And then lastly, on Resurrection Sunday, we're going to look at what is God's ultimate response to our hurts, plural. Make sense? So if you can open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 14. We're going to read verses 14 through 21 today. And we're going to have about four responses of how we should not respond to our hurts. Romans 12, beginning with verse 14, it says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay or repay evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all people. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him or her. If he or she is thirsty, give him or her a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head or her head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Again, it's so cool when you read the text. It's like, wow, we could just close our Bibles, go home, and there's really nothing else to be said, right? But then guys like myself, we have a responsibility to kind of exegete and give you a little bit more to chew on. But at the end of the day, the text is very, very clear. And if you go home today and just read it and reread it and reread it and reread it and meditate on it, your life will be transformed. And my personal opinion is you really don't need me to say anything. But if you allow the text to speak to you, you'll be healed. But the first point for the day is, you find it in verse 14, bless and do not what? Now, this doesn't mean curse someone out, like we kind of use the word curse someone out. Now, I'm not even advocating that you can and you should be cursing folks out. All right? But we should never curse anyone. This word curse means this: doom, imprecate evil upon. Well, I wish this happens to you. I wish the same thing you did to me would happen to you. Well, you need to know how I feel. To doom, to imprecate evil upon, to wish anyone evil or ruin. So I won't ask you by the show of your hands whoever's done this or who's doing it right now in your head. Right? But right at the back, you hear the text saying, no. No matter how bad you've been treated, you cannot respond by verbally dooming them. Let's go deeper. Jesus sets the standard in Luke chapter 6, verse 28. He says this: bless those who curse you. Can we say that out loud? On three. Bless those who curse you. I know that may sound strange to the ears and feel very uncomfortable to the heart, but it says, adversely, instead of cursing them back, we're to bless them instead. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who are abusive to you. Doesn't mean that you stay in abusive relationships and just stay and be a punching bag or, you know, be verbally abused. Not saying that. Yes, there's times you have to remove yourself to safety, but it doesn't mean you cannot still pray. Why is that so important? It's because prayer keeps your heart tender. Because once your heart gets hard, you are doomed. You follow me? And that's why if you look at Psalm 109, verses 17 through 20, this is the consequences of us, or we, or those who curse others. It says, he also loved cursing, so it came to him. You ever get in that situation, or maybe you're in it right now, that is like, well, he ain't, she ain't, I can't believe it. And before you know it, you're living a miserable life. Then it goes on to say, and he does not delight in blessings. So it was far from him. Blessings become what? Far from you. Because you're so focused on wishing evil upon the person that hurt you, then you miss out God's best for you. Verse 18, but he clothed himself with cursing as with a garment, just wearing it every single day. And it entered his body like water and like oil into his bones, made be to him as a garment with which he covers himself and as a belt which he constantly wears around himself. That's what happens when you let your hurt get the best of you and you just have to always put the person down, and you're sitting with your girlfriends, right? No, I can't believe it. Yeah, he's oh man, yeah, dude, man, me too, man. I can't believe it. She ain't respecting me. Well, you'll never be respected. Because God is saying, I hear your heart. And it's not until you realize that you must know who you are in Christ first before you receive respect from your wife and your children or any other created being. But here's a difficult one. Anyone today who's been hurt by their parents, you don't have to disclose yourself, but I'm sure many of us have. As little as, well, he didn't show up to my baseball game. As Some of us today are just carrying around hurt. Well, he didn't come to my banquet. Well, she never supported me. All she did was talk, you know, just mad, screaming, yell at me. He wasn't there. She wasn't there. But listen to what Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9 says to all of us. If there is anyone who curses his father or his mother, he shall certainly be put to death. Now, we know by the grace of God, you're not going to be stoned in the street. Maybe some need to, but you're not going to be stoned in the street. But you know what will happen? There will be a slow decay on the inside. He says, he has cursed his father or his mother and has brought his own death upon himself. You need to be healed from mom and daddy issues. If they're dead or alive, you need to let it go. But then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it describes what and how we should respond with our words. Listen to what Paul says to the church at Ephesus. He says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. But if there is any good word for edification according to the need of the moment, say that, so that it will give grace to those who hear. See, this is what happens, family, is that when you and I are saying bad things about other people, bad things about parents, especially if you have little children, you know who's sitting around there in that atmosphere that you're creating? And then you wonder why they don't like your parents. You wonder why they don't like people either. It's because you have created such a bad image of people to them. Or you say, well, I never say it around them. But here's the weird thing about being a parent. Have you ever seen your child do something they never seen you do? In other words, they mimic what you did and didn't even know you did that. I remember when my children started growing up, I'm like, dang, he's doing the same thing I did when I was a sinner. They're struggling with some of the same sins that I struggle with. And they didn't even know I struggle with that. And here we are as followers of Jesus Christ. We're having these sidebar conversations and we think that is just in the air. It not only affects you, affects every generation that comes after you. But if there's any good word for edification according to the need of the moment, say that so that it will give grace to those who hear. You see, to wish evil upon anyone, this never, ever, ever turns out good for any one of us. It just doesn't. How should we not respond to our hurts? We now look at, again, Romans chapter 12, verse 15. This is what happened progressively. You hurt me, especially if there's hurt in the body of Christ. Or let's say that I have family hurt, and then I come and become a Christian, then I hear terms like, we're the family of God. We're the children of God. He's the Father. He's my brother, she's my sister. You follow me? Family hurt, then it's like, whoa. I don't trust my own biological family. How do you think I'm going to trust you? My own biological father wasn't there. You really think I'm going to just automatically trust and engage with a heavenly father I do not see? So we all bring in the hurts, and we're all skeptical and like, you know, and then love becomes difficult. Like, love suffers long. Love considers the good in a person rather than immediately that person is going to be bad, just like the other person that was bad to me 20 years ago. Then this engaging that is required in the body of Christ becomes too slow sometimes. Then God has to intervene through circumstances and force engagement. Or if there's pain from the dysfunctionalities that are found in the body of Christ, then I then disengage. It becomes tough for me to engage. I get through it. I start engaging. Then someone who is sinful, and we're all sinful, hurts me intentionally or unintentionally. Then I do what? Disengage. So you have people around the world, they are called, they deconstruct their faith. I don't know how you could do that, but what they're simply saying is, I'm pushing against the institution of the church, which means people who hurt me. So now I'm stepping back and rethinking about, oh, do I need the church? Do I not need the church? Physical church? Do I really need to be involved in the lives of people? Because all that seems somehow to hurt me. So I'm deconstructing the what I think about church and Christ and the body of Christ, etc. So therefore it says, don't curse anyone, but verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. In other words, don't disengage with the body no matter how hurt you are. There's a reason why he says we need each other and why it's not good for a man to be alone from the very beginning of the creation of mankind. And that's why if you look at these words, rejoice, it means to be glad, to give one greetings, to thrive. So you hurt me, chances are I'm not going to be glad for you. You hurt me, I'm not going to want to even be around you to even give you some kind of greeting. I'm definitely not going to be able to want to be striving and thriving with you at all. Because my human sinful nature is I will want ill will to come upon you. Then it says, weep with those who weep. Weep as the sign of pain and grief for a thing that is signified. So there's this engagement that is required of us. So these words, rejoicing, you can, in the proper terminology or understanding of the words, is in what is called the contemporaneous action. It's not, God's not saying, okay, you've rejoiced, so stop rejoicing. Well, I did it once. Or I did it for him. I did it for her. The contemporaneous action says, keep on rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing now. Keep on rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing now. Keep on weeping. Keep on weeping now. Don't just say, well, I wept then and I will weep in the future. But I will be present, I will be fully engaged, and I will be weeping, and I will be rejoicing relationally now. Proverbs 17:17 suggests this type of love that does this all times. It says a friend, this word friend means a fellow citizen. We're all fellow citizens, the scripture calls us and describes us. If you put your faith and trust in Christ, we are fellow citizens. A fellow citizen loves at all times. And a brother, this word brother means those of the same tribe. We're born for adversity. In other words, when it gets tough, we need each other all the more. We're born for it. You see, our hurts from a friend or a fellow citizen should not prevent us from continuing to make friends. When someone 10 years ago hurt you as a friend, it doesn't mean that you should not continue to make friends. It doesn't counsel people out. We should never, ever curse anyone. We should never, ever get to a point that we disengage from the body. And this disengagement, it is one of the beginning nuances of the next or the third point that I'll give you today. Disengagement, you know what it leads to? Pride. It simply says, I don't need you. I'm good without you. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. Try to sit at home by yourself and see how it goes. You'll be picking flies off the wall. Just give yourself time. Sit there by yourself. The walls will be closing in on you. Life will start falling apart, decaying, because you're not families are not even created to be alone. Because you know what happens in family? It becomes very dysfunctional because that family can begin to think that you do everything right. It's like, well, this is how we do it in our family. Well, because you're comparing your family to your family. Right? And you could be saying abusive stuff to your spouse and don't even know you saying abusive things to your kids until you see another man raising his child in fear and admonition of the Lord. Then you have something to compare it against. One of the best ways a man can learn to love his wife as Christ loved the church is being around other godly men who love their wife as Christ loved the church and gave his very life for her. Not staying in your house, reading your Bible, thinking that you're doing it right. Yeah, you stay in your house, read your Bible, but then see it applied in real time. So that being said, it says, do not become haughty. Don't become lofty. Do not become prideful. Because that's what not rejoicing with people, not engaging and connecting with people becomes. It's like, oh, what's your problem? Well, you know, and it's like, well, my joy is better than your joy. Well, you're not really going through anything, you know, hard. You know, put your big boy pants on. Because there's a disconnecting emotionally. We've lost the weeping with each other. So it's more of, hey, what's wrong with you, man? Suck it up. You know, why are you still smoking, you know, smoking and dealing with, you know, nicotine? Well, you know, the way the Lord dealt with me, he just woke up one day and I was just delivered. What's wrong with you? And you hear that in the body of Christ. People get hurt from it. Versus realizing, you know, chances are God is dealing with that bro and that sister in a different way that he's dealing with me, but yet in the same unique way. In other words, holiness is holiness before God. Sin is sin before God. And trust me, let them keep trying to do things that way and be not deceived. God is not mocked. What you sow is what you're going to reap. So continue to play in the sandbox, bro. Because what's like and similar to you and me is that if you continue down this path, you are going to have to pay the piper. There's consequences to your sin. So you can take how much time you want. You follow me? And there's a grace and there's a patience to that because God is dealing with that person at their own rate and at a pace. But yet he will deal with sin. Because it's his reputation that is on the line. Not mine, not a church. But it is the head of the church, his reputation, that's on the line. And he has a better way of protecting it. So our responsibility in the meantime is stay engaged, stay relational, stay encouraging, stay emotionally, you know, connected and things like that. Don't become arrogant and prideful, thinking that I'm better than you, you're better than me. Because this is what Jesus said to this kind of people, the Pharisees. In Luke chapter 16, verse 15. And he said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the sight of people. In the sight of people. We always look better. But God knows your hearts. Because that which is highly esteemed among people is detestable in the sight of God. You compare yourself with you, you look pretty good. But when we compare ourselves to a holy and righteous God, all of our hearts are unclean. Then in Romans 11, verse 17 and 18, Paul writes, but if some of the branches were broken off, and let me give you the context before I read on. This is speaking to the children of Israel who got pretty arrogant because they were God's chosen people. And he says, hey, by the way, you need to know I've grafted in the Gentiles because of your attitude. Okay? So he goes on and says, but if some of the branches were broken off and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partakers with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not become arrogant towards the branches. In other words, there were some relational things going on between the Jews and the Gentiles, the non-Jews. Do not become arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. Don't ever forget who's in charge and where you get your life source from. When we disengage from the body, this is one of the first signals of pride. Again, it suggests I don't need you. I got enough Jesus in me that I can go along by myself. Lastly, don't seek to get even. So again, look at the progression. I start off by being so verbally condemning towards that person who hurt me, right? Talking about them, talking to my friends about them, you know, gossiping around the coffee pot, the water faucet, or, you know, the water cooler at work, and I'm just, you know, wishing, ew, I wish we'd get a new manager. I wish, you know, that he was gone. I don't want to really work for that person. They don't understand. They're so unfair, and right, I can't believe I never get promoted by them, and they just don't understand me, right? And then what begins to happen is, you know, I'm going to look for a new job. Hear it all the time. I'm going to start looking for a new job. Can you pray for me? Wait a minute. 2 years ago, we were just praying and you were just celebrating that God gave you that job. And now because you got a little discomfort, a little hurting, you know, hurt, personal pride, hurt going on, it's like, okay, now I need to relocate. Doesn't make sense. Start disengaging. Oh, great church. Praise the Lord. Oh, it was so sweet. But then you start getting deeper in relationships and realize that no one's perfect. Just, oh, I can't believe, man. There's a bunch of sinners in that church. Oh, you know. Well, don't forget you in the church too. It happens all the time, right? And then start talking about people, then disengage. Well, we're looking for a new church. Well, I'm not serving no more because, you know, nobody's serving and nobody thanked me. I can't believe it. And, you know, nobody's helping. I'm the only one serving. That's wishing. That's cursing. That's creative cursing. Tell me somewhere in the Bible that he says if God has called you to do something, that there's supposed to be this team of people that's supposed to come along with you. When you called, you're called with someone or without someone. Praise the Lord if people come alongside you to serve with you and to be as faithful. No, your responsibility is to be faithful alone. Which guards your tongue, guards your conversation, keeps you engaged, right? But if not, I begin to be cursing everything around me. And then it begins to be the water that flows within your own system. It begins to be the oil in your bones, as the psalmist says. It becomes a part of you. The belt that you wear every single day causes disconnect. Disconnect says, I really don't need anybody. I got the answers. I know exactly how church should be ran. I know exactly how to love people and care for people. I know exactly what should be done. I should be running things. It's pride. At least the pride. And then pride ultimately gets to our final point is, I could just take matters in my own hand. I can handle this. I can deal with this on my own. The way I'm feeling, the way people are treating me, the way they think about me, what they said about me, I'm going to take it in my own hands. And that's why he says, never pay back evil for evil. Didn't give an option. It says, never pay back evil for evil. The word payback means this: never give back evil, never recompense in a bad sense. In other words, you cannot be playing tit for tat. Well, you did it to me, well, I'm gonna do it to you. Well, you treated me this way, well, I'm gonna treat you the same way. Well, you said this to me, well, I'm gonna one up you. This is what Jesus suggests, which is radically different response to hurt in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 through 45. He says this: you have heard that it is said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not show opposition against an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other towards them also. That's tough to read. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak also. In other words, if they say something and they don't agree with your Facebook post, stop it. So what? They don't agree. Matter of fact, the more you can get more agreement is just post the Bible verse. And if they disagree with the Bible verse, they disagree with God. I mean, can you imagine just more peace and just like, hey, you disagree with that? Well, take it up with God. Versus opinion after opinion after opinion we put out there, right? And but then it turns into slapping and disagreement and, you know, robbing you and taking your tunic. And then you got to get to a point that, you know, you have to say, well, you know what, shucks, I can't keep going back and forth. Here, take my tunic. Somebody has to say, take it. And somebody in your family has to come to a place that, you know what? Yeah, we have four siblings in the family, and all of us mad at daddy. Somebody's got to say, you know what? I'm going to step into this and say, you know what? I'm going to lead and say, God told me to honor my father and my mother. Didn't say if he was there or not. Didn't say if he was good or bad, alive or dead. Honor is honor. Somebody's got to stand up on the job and say, you know what? Yeah, we disagree with what's going on and where it's going, but God says to me, honor all authority. Somebody's got to stop talking about presidents. And say, we're going to honor all authority and all the words that we can accumulate to say something against him or her. You know what we're going to do? We're going to accumulate to be on our knees and pray as the Bible commands for him or her. He says, pray for those in authority, because for they have been appointed by God over you to rule over you. Don't get mad because your vote didn't count. Somebody's got to say, I'm choosing not to get even. Who's going to do it? whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Then if you skip to verse 43, it says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Why? So that you may prove yourself to be sons and daughters of your Father who's in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. And he sends rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. You see, your payback is never as good as the hand of God himself. Can we end with this? I want to read to you a very important passage in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 25. Then I want to give you some space and some time to respond to this, all that we've learned today and also this passage. And this is Jesus again speaking. His final words, if you would, for today, meaning us. You have heard that the ancients were told, you should not murder. And whoever commits murder should be answerable to the court. But I say to you, that everyone who is angry with his brother should be answerable to the court, higher court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, should be answerable to the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, should be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering, therefore, before the altar and go first, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Come to good terms with your accuser quickly. Come to good terms with your accuser quickly while you are with him on the way to court, so that your accuser will not hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer, and you will be thrown into prison. And I beseech you today that so many followers of Jesus Christ who are imprisoned, free but locked up, because they're walking around still angry at people, still saying, you good for nothing, and you fool. In other words, I can live without you. Yeah, there's some truth to that, but you can't live the way you're living right now without them. Something has to change in your heart. Has to change. If not, you will be imprisoned by the hurts until you see Jesus face to face, the high Supreme Court. It's your choice while you still have breath. Let's pray. Today, again, I want to give you some space, and as the worship team comes forward, the altar is open. And I encourage you to change your posture today. In other words, if you can kneel, come up to the altar and kneel. If you can't kneel, still change your posture and come forward to the altar, if you would, leave your offering and go be reconciled. In other words, if there is someone you're angry at and you're just living life saying, I can live life without this person till you don't have another breath, I want to give you some space today to be healed. Leave it at the altar and go be reconciled. For some of you, the reconciliation may look.
Hello, my name is Sarah Vega, and I am the administrative and executive director here at Commitment Church. I hope you've enjoyed today's message by Pastor Cedric Brown. If you didn't know, Pastor Cedric also sends out encouraging videos weekly. We call these the Weekly Wire. The acronym WIRE means weekly inspiration, refreshment, and encouragement. We can send these encouraging videos directly to you by subscribing at www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org. Here's an example of the encouragement you'll receive.
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Cedric of Commitment Church with another weekly WIRE. Have you ever had enemies in your life, or maybe today you have an enemy? I know, just a quick confession, I've had many enemies and probably still have some subconsciously that I don't even know about. So please pray for me. But nevertheless, there's a warning in scripture for all of us, and it says this: do not rejoice when your enemy fails, or do not let your heart be glad when they stumble. So the next time you find yourself at odds with someone on the job, in your home, maybe it's a past best friend of some kind, and maybe the tendency in your heart is to be glad when things go wrong with them, let's all just pump our brakes a little bit and remember what this Bible verse reminds us of. Again, if our enemy is stumbling, our heart should not be glad. Maybe it's a time to pray for them, that God would draw them to themselves. Maybe that God will reveal himself to them. Or maybe it is reconcile with our enemies. So again, never rejoice when your enemy is failing. Never let your heart be glad when they stumble. So if you know someone today in your life that's going through some tough times with some people and maybe have a lot of enemies in their lives, please be sure to pass this video on to them that they may also be reminded when their enemy fails, do not rejoice. When their enemy stumbles, do not let our hearts be glad.
We hope you enjoyed this sample of our weekly WIRE. Again, to subscribe to your weekly inspiration, refreshment, and encouragement, please visit www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org.
Thank you for listening to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. If you want to listen to the previous messages in this series, or if you want to hear messages from other series, visit Commitment Church on YouTube or Pastor Cedric Brown on Spotify, Pandora, or other podcast providers. You can also visit us on our website, commitmentchurch.org. And if you live in the Philadelphia, Delaware, or South Jersey area, we would love to see you in person as well. You can attend any of our services by visiting us at 2 Berlin Road South, Lindenwald, New Jersey, 08021. Thank you again for listening, and have a blessed and wonderful day.